In our gospel today, we're actually shown two ways, a way to be truly generous and another way, kind of false generosity. The first way of false generosity we see particularly in the scribes, and the second way of true generosity is in the widow. The scribes were indeed experts in interpreting the law of Moses, and the law of Moses was the core of the Jewish culture. And so the people of ancient Israel did indeed respect and revere the scribes. But Jesus, you might say, was more than a little frustrated with them. Without a doubt, they seemed to be generous, you know, being generous of their times and maybe even their talents, you know. You know, imagine they put in many long hours. But in the midst of all that, they were devouring the resources of widows. So unfortunately, their natural gifts and elevated social function, you might say, had gone to their head. Instead of exercising service leadership to the nation, to the neighbors, you might say they were flaunting it, their leadership, to stroke their own ego and pride and vanity, to increase their own comfort, you know, to enhance their own reputation, you know. From the outside, they may seem to be, you know, active and generous, but obviously their fruit is much more rotten. Sadly, the higher they climb, the more they look down on everyone else. They consider themselves superior because they gave more of their time and more of their talent, you know, to the faith of their land. But this is a one-dimensional view of, you know, living out a faith life, and it's not very genuine. The scribes were forgetting that all those external things, the things that they were doing, was actually, like, their intelligence and their talents was first and foremost was a gift from God given to them to use in service to others. So in the midst of all this, we need to remember what God truly wants from us is something more, something deeper. He really desires and wants our love. He wants us to trust in Him. The whole of creation belongs to Him, even ourselves. Remember, He created it out of nothing. You know, and so we have this beautiful example of true generosity from the poor widow. This poor widow gave all that she had to the Lord. She just didn't share from her abundance. She handed over to God all her wealth. Interiorly, I imagine she was praying the following, saying, Lord, You are my good shepherd. I trust You. I will follow You wherever You lead. Maybe she said a prayer like that. Obviously, this sort of heart and prayer was something the scribes were not doing. They considered that what they were doing was actually doing a favor to God by serving Him. God does not need our favor in that. God simply desires our love that we can all give, whether we're smart or not smart. And the widow understood that God was the one doing the favors. That's the kind of generosity God wants to see flourish in each of us, the generosity by which we give God not our stuff, but our hearts, giving Him our love and affection, especially in prayer, especially in our Sunday worship. And so this same lesson comes across clearly in the first reading. We don't know if that, once again, that poor widow who was gathering sticks outside of town would have recognized the great prophet Elijah, and he was indeed a famous and great prophet. It's likely that maybe she would not have. Remember, there's no TV or internet back there. It's not like, you know, the prophet Elijah had a Twitter account or Instagram or whatever is popular. God forbid, TikTok or something like that. And that's so. But even if she had recognized him, she had really little reason to comply with his request for a drink of water and a bite to eat. There was a severe drought and famine that has devastated the country. Sometimes we do see it in our world. Many times we've seen it, like in Africa, the poor people at times were starving to death. It was far more common, you know, back during the time of Jesus. She and her only son were on the verge of starvation. She was suffering intensely. She had grave problems on her own. And she had plenty of reason to lash out at someone who ignored her suffering and asked her for favors. And it is in times of hardships and stress that our true character shines out. In the case of the widow, she is truly charitable, truly generous, truly loving God by loving neighbor. Her true character was truly courageous. Now she left aside preparing her own little meal for her and her son and did what Elijah asked for her, because she was exercising one of the important virtues back then. That is the ministry of hospitality, loving her neighbor as herself. And when Elijah asked more than she could give, she didn't become vindictive or angry, but simply stated the facts. She was a woman who recognized her own dependence upon God, and as a result, she was able to be generous towards others who were in need without getting tangled up in self-centered complications. Her selfless generosity accurately reflected God's goodness, and God indeed rewards it for her. A great miracle is worked for her flour and oil that did not run out for a year. So God showers her with his blessings, proving that she was right to trust in him and his prophet Elijah. And he truly is the Lord of the universe. Obviously, we need to remember that God doesn't always insulate us from sufferings of our life in our fallen world, like he did for the widow when she met the prophet Elijah. But we can take to heart is that we are truly charitable, loving our neighbor and thus loving God. The Lord will be faithful to us what really matters. And so if we are like her, the poor widow, humbling ourselves, recognizing our dependence upon God by living generously of heart, we will indeed not lose our greatest and most important reward. That is eternal life with God in heaven. And so in the midst of all this, we need to gradually transform our selfishness. You know, we all still have some in our heart, myself included. With the help of God, we need to allow him to transform it into Christ-centered, humble generosity like that of both the widows, in both in our gospel reading and our first reading. And thus we are able to grow in Christian virtue, and thus we will be able to grow in holiness. We're able to follow our Lord, who's our good shepherd, more faithfully. So I always like to give practical ways that we can do things like this. Two things to foster this transformation are the following. First, we can't do it on our own. We need to be humble. We need to ask God every day in prayer to purify our hearts, because without his grace, we can do nothing. In fact, without his grace, we'll commit every sin underneath the sun. Without his grace, we would want to eat that last cookie and not share it with our siblings, you know, and so, or eat the last scoop of ice cream, or demand that we watch our favorite TV program instead of, you know, one that everybody can like. And so, second, we need to practice virtues. True life-transforming virtue can only be developed by conscience and daily effort. It doesn't come from a quick fix. It comes from persistent exercise. Virtue, in this sense, are like muscles. The more we use them, the stronger they will get with the help of God. And the best place to exercise heartfelt, selfless generosity is actually at home. In fact, family life is designed by God to be a school of all Christian virtues. It's easy to put on the appearance of generosity like the scribes, but when we are interacting with people who are not our family, because they only see us every once in a while. However, at home, our family members see us all the time. They know us better. They know the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so finding creative ways to serve our family members is a path to purify our hearts of selfishness. And it can be something simple like this. Remember, first and foremost, our families know us well. And yes, they may commend us for these efforts, but they won't overdo it, I don't think. And so, for example, maybe my dear children here, you have chores that need to be done. You know, if your parents ask you to do your chores, do them straight away. You know, and don't complain that I have to do them now. Can I play some more of the video games? Maybe here's an even bigger stretch. Help your fellow siblings with their chores. I think that would shock mom and dad. Maybe they would praise you a lot when they do that. Maybe, for example, of couples, what about this? Maybe after an argument, be the first to forgive, regardless of who's at fault. Or maybe here's something even more challenging. Leave that last cookie that I was talking about, or that last bite of ice cream, for someone else without expecting any rewards for ourselves. No, God wants to give us the freedom and the joy of having a truly a generous heart. I think sometimes, you know, we can see this, especially as the children grow older. I imagine the older children may have had more fun giving out the candy at Halloween last Sunday than actually receiving, you know, so maybe things like that. And so let us ask God for help. Let us be humble. Say, Lord, at times I am indeed self-centered. Help me to be generous. If we ask for his help and we do our parts by practicing virtues at home and in life, we will be able to follow Christ, our good shepherd, more faithfully because he leads us into life everlasting. Amen.